We come to God's Word, 1 Samuel. It's the Word of God. What a gift. What a gift. Over the past year, I've been focusing on the lives of several Old Testament men that were examples for us. I think we're at 14 of them. And I didn't plan some, year and a half calendar. Just as God takes us through these different men that we've looked at. They were great men because God made them great, made them for His glory. They were instruments for His name's sake. We call them, and sometimes we call them monuments, right, of grace. We look at them. We go back and we look at what God did in their lives. And today, in God's providence, on Mother's Day, I land on the first example of a godly Old Testament woman. I didn't plan it this way. Seriously. Because if you hear some of the side comments from Mac, he's got me maybe 5 years worth of people out of the Scriptures I need to speak on. It's a running list. And I receive it with a smile and expectation of what God wants me to focus on, but I didn't realize in the subsequent weeks and months that today would be the first time we look at one of the godly women, but it's on Mother's Day. And I say that because God rules everything, doesn't He? And I trust that He's planned this for good, for all of our good. I want to be quick to say this. This is not just a Mother's Day message. All right, Lorenz? It's not just a Mother's Day message. All right, Michael? Brothers up here, Rob, don't close me out now, okay? Nick, Jake, this is not just a Mother's Day message. This is a heart-searching message to all parents, mothers and fathers, and to anyone who's hearing this that may be a parent one day. You young people, my son and daughter, you young people, teenagers, listen today to God's Word. On this truth of children. Even if you're an aunt, an uncle, grandchildren that you might have, these are truths that are foundational to how we should view the gift of children and speaking into their lives, how we should view what God has in it. So in that sense, it's for everyone. It's uniquely truth to strengthen the sisters in the faith that are mothers. Whether they've been a mother for a month or two or for 30 plus years. In Ron and Karen's case, 50 years. So it's for everyone. Let me ask you mothers, again, everybody stay with me, but let me ask the moms, what is your heart's desire for your children? What are you thinking there, Amber? Your heart's desire, Shana, Betty, Krista, Audrey. You moms, what are you aiming for? What are you really aiming for? What it's all about, right? Let's be honest, because I've been reading, thinking through this for days, if not a couple of weeks, and as a father, I feel these same questions. What am I aiming for? What is it about? Let me make this comment and see if you think this may be true. One of the subtle but real problems in the homeschool movement over the past 25 years is this. I've been in it since 1984. Parents who aim for academic success and not that their children will come to know and live for Jesus Christ. Stay with me. It's oftentimes that truth is kind of tucked away somewhere else in the agenda, in the material. The chief thing is to know God through Jesus Christ and walk with Him. Right? You want to be a dentist, a teacher, a banker, a technician, a technology whiz person? Whatever. Own a building, run a business. That's not the main thing. I commend homeschoolers who are committed to academic work and development and training and advancement. It's right. It's God-honoring. But the chief thing is Jesus Christ and living for Him. That's it, right? I could stop right there. That's what parenting is about for the Christian. So today we will see a godly woman who had the highest view of motherhood. The high view, the great view, the long-term view. Any guess who this is? It's Hannah. It's Hannah. We got, I mean, one or two Hannahs? We got a Hannah back there. Hannah, Elkanah's wife. Now, I have to qualify this a little bit. When we come to the life of Hannah as a mother, you realize we hardly have any history on her as a mother? I mean, talk about what she did as a mother, right? There's just a few verses on her as a mother. So, you cannot give a teaching on the characteristics of motherhood over days, months, and years from the life of Hannah. That's not what I'm intending to do today. You can go to different examples of mothers in Old Testament or New Testament, and you can see truths. You could build a framework or a structure that would help for Christian motherhood. But not in Hannah's life. Not really. You can't find that. It's simply not there. It's not in the text. So then why is Hannah mentioned among godly mothers in the Bible? You'll see in the index and in different places of study Bibles, she'll be listed as a noble mother, a godly mother, a giving mother, right? All these, it's connected to her. Why? One reason, her heart in dedicating Samuel to God. That's why she's listed. What she did before he was born and after he was born, and what she speaks to us, you mothers, all of us that are parents. That's why she's listed. That's why she's a pillar, an example. Her mindset, the way she thought, her hope, what she hoped for, her great desire was that her child would be for God's name. Wow. Now that's substance, right? Can you imagine going to the homeschool book fair? Has it already occurred? Is it coming up? Is it this past weekend? And you just go to booth after booth. What do you have here today that advances my children for the glory of God? There'd be some of the people there that would look at you like, "Woo, this guy's serious." Yeah, I'm serious. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, right, is to know God, the fear of the Lord. So Hannah stands out. She does. So let's see this together as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let me set the historic context and we'll move through this. We'll see her life speaking to us on this pillar truth. It's for us dads too, right? Because we get, as parents, if we get all of our ambitions and our what we think they have to accomplish, we'll miss the main thing if we're not careful. All right, the historic setting. The chapter or this transition point of Israel's history and what's going to happen now with the giving of the prophet Samuel and what happens with Saul and then eventually David. This all begins at this couple. It's like, wow, this seems kind of a small thing. It's not a small thing. Not with this son that was coming, Samuel. The little boy Samuel, and that name, ask of God. So we come to this scene where this man Elkanah has two wives. And you remember the story. One of the wives, and of course we're not going to go into this whole thing of multiple wives. That's not our intent at all. But he loved Hannah. Hannah was the love of his heart. We can see that in certain ways the text comes out. But Hannah had what? No children. His other wife had several children, but Hannah had none. And it was a big deal, right? To not have children. She longed for children. It was her burden. It was her weight. Because she saw it as we'll see, she saw it as something that's a gift from God and a giving back to God. I want my children. I want my child for God's name. So she's burdened by this. And she yearns particularly for a son. We're in now the time period of the priest. Eli's the priest. And so she has this view towards these priests, these men that give their life in the tabernacle. Well, anyway, what did this bring Hannah to do? Hannah was burdened. Hannah was overwhelmed in a sense, her heaviness. But what did it bring her to do? Was she bitter? Don't see that in the text. She was had great sorrow or heaviness, but she doesn't seem that she was bitter about it. Was she angry about it? No, that's not in the text. Did she question God about it? No. Never in her request before God did she come across as though, Lord, what are you doing? I say that because that happens. I don't know in the journey of you different women and the heaviness that you felt and issues with children. It is a very real thing that women feel. They want children. How do you believe God? His timing, His ways, His purposes. That's where Hannah was. This is right down to where she lived. She wanted a child. So what did she do? She wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. She didn't argue or question God. She poured out her heart to God. So I'm setting the context, right? Once a year, they would make the journey from where they lived, and they would go to Shiloh. And they would go to Shiloh to offer sacrifices, right? They would have worship and sacrifices at the tabernacle as a family. They would make this journey, they would go there, and they would come to the place that God appointed, if you want to call it, the place where God promised to meet with His people. That's where He would come. He would deal with the sin sacrifices, and He would have mercy on the people. So they would come. So Hannah comes with no children, with her husband, the other side of the family, if you want to call it that, and they would come, and she has no posterity, no children of her own. And this is where we see her heart poured out to God. Let's pick it up. Verse 9. They're in Shiloh. They're at the tabernacle. They're at the place where God is appointed. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post, a post of the temple of the Lord. So here's Eli. He's the priest. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Here she is at the tabernacle, overwhelmed, pouring out her soul, and she vowed a vow. Verse 11. Here's Hannah. She vows a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, a son, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We'll stop there. The first thing I want us to notice is she had a heart ready to dedicate her son before he was even born. She was already ready. She had a heart. She didn't have her own agenda, if you want to put it that way. She had a heart ready to give a son to God if God in His tender mercy would bless her with a child. It is powerful. The sequence here is so powerful. Before the child, then she has the child, then the child's ready to be offered. Every step of the way, her heart was just right. She never wavers. So here, as she pours out her soul to God, we know that she didn't actually say these words out loud. We have them because God given them to us. But Eli didn't even know what she was saying. He thought she was drunk, right? Yet she was pouring out her soul before God. There's many sermons in that right there. Just the posture, the attitude of Hannah. So sisters in the Lord, note where Hannah started. She said, O God, or O Lord, look on my affliction. Remember me. Grant me a son. Lord, if you would just remember me, if your mercy would come, would you give me a son? That's where she starts. Think of that. Do we as parents view coming into parenthood that God-centered, right? Think of it. It's a fair question. Hannah starts with recognizing it's God that gives children and that she was ready to dedicate this child, this son, if God would be merciful. She knew that any child was God's gift. She's in childbearing years. These are the days that she should be able to have children, and God had closed the womb. But she knew it was God's gift. What a refreshing reminder, right? Oh, we live in such an advanced day. Everybody's just got everything planned out, right? Wrong. She knew it was God's gift. Our children are God's gift, right? We just say that. We have to say that to each other. The grandchildren that I have are a gift to my children and a gift to me as a grandfather. They're God's gift. Children are not a random biological thing. They're not a product of conception. What bogus language. It's ridiculous. Children are not just by chance. They're not just a probability. Children are not in the timing of men. They're God's gift. Years ago, I was in my late 20s, I did some freelance work, and I was working for a couple that was building a really beautiful place at Lake Grapevine. And they were lost. They didn't have Christ, and they didn't have a high view of children, or at least God's gift in children. They didn't have any yet. And he just laughingly said to her, I don't know what we were doing at that time, but he laughingly said, "Oh yeah, we'll have a child on this day, on this year. Ha ha ha." I remember then in my late 20s thinking, who does he think he is? Hannah's prayer reminds us she's ready to give a child back to God or dedicate her son. She just knows it's God's gift. I mean, we got to start right there. Psalm 127:3, Brother Ron says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord," right? "And the fruit of the womb is His reward, His gift." Your two sons. Brother, if you get children one day, you young men, if you get children one day, it's God's gift. You sisters, you know that. You get to carry Him in the womb. We men look on and we just can't hardly believe this. It's phenomenal. But they're the gift of God. We got to get that right afresh to see it that way. All right, well, that's foundational. They're the gift of God. But look at her heart's desire in this gift. They're not our gift to hold on to, right? And what did she go on? "Look on my affliction, remember me, grant me, if you would give me a son, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." You talk about a ready heart. Sisters, get hold of this. She, Hannah, was ready to give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And in your own way, you have to do that. You have to do that. We have to do that as parents. She was ready to yield her child to God's service for all his life. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we can get the home school group, call a big timeout in the exhibit hall and say, now we're getting somewhere. The ultimate end is not academic excellence. The ultimate end for all of us, any human that's ever made, is to live or be for the glory of God. That's the whole purpose of life, for God's name's sake. And so we as parents want to honor Him and have that view. "I will give Him unto the Lord all the days of His life." She was ready. She was ready. What a high view of God this woman had. What a high view of motherhood. Hannah was saying this, "My child is not about my identity." You hear me, sisters? My child, if you give me a child, it's not about my identity. It's not about my pride, my agenda, what I want to accomplish, what I want my children to do. That's wrong, beloved. Sisters, that's wrong. You men that are fathers, that's wrong. You young people that one day may have children, it's not about your identity. Children are a gift. They're a precious gift, arguably as great of a gift as you get in life, other than redemption in Christ Jesus. Right? That's the gift. But this gift of children, they're God's heritage. And Hannah was ready to have a high view of God in how she viewed her son, her child. Your child is not about your selfish ambition. Hannah obviously shows us that. Women that like to relive their lives through their children, their daughters, their sons. Men who have to relive their ego trips through their sons or their children. Out with that. That's not for us. I mean, you just see it in so many ways. They push them to be music, or they push them to be in sports, or they push them to be a beauty queen. They push their sons to be something that they don't even want to be. We ought to talk to our sons and daughters about God, about His kingdom, His name, His eternity, His purposes, His glory. That's what we should be talking about. Hannah had it. She had it right. This truth should inspire you mothers. I guarantee it's inspired this father and grandfather. It should inspire you sisters. Karen should walk away today with great joy and fresh joy in this truth. She's lived it, God, in His mercy. She's parented longer than anybody in the room, but this is truth for her as she sees grandchildren and maybe in the coming days, great-grandchildren. You mothers, let this inspire you. Your children, be ready to dedicate your children to God. Be ready. Do it. Start here before they're born. Stay here in all the years that you're raising them. They're God's. They're God's. They're always His. Dedicate them. Commit them to Him. Pray over them that way. Teach them that way. I was just at lunch with a guy, really a dear friend, just 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's a Christian man. We used to work together. We don't now, but I was with him, and his daughters are now, one's getting close to finishing high school. His three daughters, close to finishing high school, one in junior high, and one's about to start junior high. And so they're in that transition into womanhood, young womanhood. And he was struggling. He was trying to talk about how much he longs for his daughters, you know, what's ahead, and his daughter that's getting close to whether she even go to college or not. He was just wrestling with it, I could tell, and she's not that worked up about it. She's not looking at all the catalogs out there to figure out where she's going to go conquer the world, if you follow my... But I think her dad and perhaps her mom, they had certain ambitions. That's normal. We got to be careful. We do. But his ambition was right there. He wasn't holding it back. Where should she go to college? I want her to be focused. And I finally, when I finally came time for me to say something, I said, well, it sounds like she knows the Lord from some of the other things you said. You know what, Randy? It seems like the bigger issue is you ought to say to her is, what is your life for God's glory going to be? Is that training? Is that the mission field? Do I marry? Do I not marry? Lord, I'm yours. Here am I. Send me. Is that not the theme it should be? And it's in some wonderful way, God just owned that moment. It stopped everything because He said, you're right. I said, Randy, we don't have to plan all these chapters. Just love her and tell her, seek God. Present your life as a living sacrifice. Darlene Rose? Anybody been listening to that since the conference? Any of you brothers listening to Darlene Rose? You might have read the book. You don't know who I'm talking about? The one that Charles Lotter referred to, the lady that was in that Japanese held a prisoner of war. Am I right? Got all this right? Boy, you talk about getting to the essence of why we're even here. What does my life count for? So, number one, Hannah was ready, absolutely ready to dedicate her son to the Lord. Before he was born, she had a high view of God, a high view of motherhood. Let's go on. Skip down to verse 19. We come to the second major truth I want to mention about her. Verse 19, and they rose up. Now it's time. She'd had her prayer. She'd poured out her heart. Eli thought she was drunk. And she said, oh, I'm not. I've poured out my heart. Eli never knows. Now, this is fascinating. The very son that God's going to give her is going to replace Eli. Eli didn't even know this. And yet, he says, may God grant you what you long for. She leaves. God just gave her peace. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning, early, and they worshiped before the Lord and returned, and they came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. She has this little boy. It's time to go back to Shiloh. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good, be good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave him suck until she weaned him. We'll stop there. Second truth from Hannah's life and her high view of motherhood. She had a steadfast heart to dedicate her son after he was born. Sometimes we're pretty ambitious before God does something, right? Well, I'll just give you this, or if you'll just give me... Hannah wasn't just overstating things. She had, after the gift of her son, a steadfast heart to give this son to God. It never, ever changes. Amazing. So they return home. They return home from Shiloh. God blesses her. She conceives. It's like when she left the tabernacle and went home. It's like God, had, in His own tender mercy, had ministered to her. She had peace at that point. That's what Eli prayed for. And she leaves, and sure enough, in a short amount of time, God grants her grace to conceive a son. Her great burden is now turned to great joy. Her great longing has now been given, has been satisfied. Her desire for God to do great things has now come true. God has granted her her desire. Can you imagine how she felt? Full of thanksgiving. You ladies know this, right? This thing of having your first child or having children, wanting children, young girls who one day want to marry, have children. There's this incredible feeling they have. Hannah had longed for children. And God did it. God came and gave her a son. In all of human experience, the gift of children is one of the greatest there is, right? It is. It's a phenomenal experience to have a child given you. And yet this doesn't change what Hannah feels at all about her vow to God, but she has a child given her. We have children given us. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming in the first month to see them, the moms, begin to have the child develop in them. 33 years ago right now, I know a young couple that was getting ready for their first child. I started thinking back this week. We'd go down and do laundry at our apartment complex. You remember that? And she, Krista had these books, and it would show us. I remember thinking, you guys are going to laugh. You hang on here. I remember looking at pictures and thoughts, I've got a child. I've got a child in there. Oh, it was just, and she was so excited, so ready. I was overwhelmed. Yeah, I kind of thought I was ready, but I was overwhelmed in a good way because God gave us a son. I didn't know it was a son yet. We didn't know any of our children until Bethany that they were coming, what they were going to be until they were born. I mean, a boy or a girl. We wanted just to be at the moment. But anyway, God gives a child. He gives it. You feel it. Hannah felt it. Can you imagine what she felt? But the point is, she doesn't change at all her desire to give him to God. In parentheses, she wasn't possessive about it. If they're God's gift, then they're His, right? Oh, it's just overwhelming to have the memories and to think of that with each of the children that you have, but particularly that first. And so here's Hannah with a new son. Did she waver? Eva, did she waver at all? Do we have any text that she's going, I don't know about this now. Wait a minute. It's one thing to pour out your heart and pray for something, but now, maybe when he's grown up, he can serve God. Nope. No wavering, not at all. This woman's readiness before he was born now is steadfast. She's anchored. She's set. God will do great things for His name's sake. So she doesn't waver at all. She tells her husband, Elkanah, that once Samuel is weaned, then I will bring him. I'm not going this time. This was probably that first year. You go on. I'm not coming. I'll stay here with him. But once he's weaned, I'll bring him. She doesn't say, with tears, I'll hand him to you. You take him. No, 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 no. She says, the same God that I serve with joy, I'll give my son to. Now, you ladies getting this? Woo-wee! There might be some liberties given, fresh grace and faith and help today. For you as a mom, I know as dads we ought to be getting this. They're not ours. And she knew it. And she lived it. She felt it. And she said, I'll bring him to the tabernacle and dedicate him to God once he's weaned. Her heart, beloved, was steadfast. She was resolved to trust Samuel to God. This is a powerful truth. She was resolved, or she was completely set, that she could trust Samuel to God. Now, if y'all, anybody wants to break down and cry, if they get something big today, then let it rip. It doesn't matter to me. Dedicate him to God. We have a little Samuel in here. There's big things happening. But in God's economy, God's on the throne. He has this child. It's His child. They're all His children. And we can trust them to God. It's so powerful. Oh, you sisters in the Lord, what is this saying to you? What is this saying? It's saying that your children aren't yours. They're God's. Train them. Raise them. Look as a steward. You're doing something that has bigger purpose in it. They're God's. They're His gift, or His name, or His kingdom, for His purposes. Be careful not to hold on to them so tightly. Right? It's just, I know it's in the instinct for a mom and for a dad, boy, to protect your children. You want to get a woman in a fight, you mess with her children. I mean, if I've ever seen the absolute adrenaline in the look in my wife's eyes, it's when somebody messes with her kids. They're my kids too. Meaning, there's a protective instinct. Yes, Hannah would have had that. You have that. But what is this speaking to us? Your children are yours. They're His. Don't hang on to them so tightly. Let them be an offering to God. View them that way. You're a steward. The shepherds don't own the sheep. Jesus Christ owns them, right? You're going to be presented to your great shepherd. He's the one you're joined to. Children ultimately are not yours. They're God's. So be careful. Don't hold on to them so tightly. Whether they're 1 month old, 4 years old, 13 years old, or 25 years old, you moms, remember they're His. Because you don't just stop loving them and speaking into their lives at a certain point. You keep going. So you keep going in ministering truth to them as a way of giving them as an offering to God. How you speak to them. How you spend time with them. I'm talking little ones, elementary age, junior high school, after that. How do we spend our time and our hearts towards them? Let me quickly say, yes, continue to pour your labor into their training and development. I'm not in any way today diminishing our obligation, our calling before God to train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Training them, bringing them along, teaching them how to relate to others, relate to elderly, relate to their siblings, relate to society at large. All those things. Continue to pour your labor into their training and development. I am not bypassing that. But remember, they are God's, not yours. You do it unto the Lord. You do it by faith. You do it in honor to Him. You do it as a steward. You do it for His namesake. You get that? That's parenting to the glory of God. They are not ours. Not ours. Abraham had to do this with Isaac. He did it with a full heart. Hannah had to do this with Samuel. She didn't have to. She did it. The text never says that God came to her and said, you're going to have to do this. The text just says she longed for it, asked God for it, and said, I'll give him to you. So Hannah was steadfast in her vow to God. You sisters, you moms, continue to be steadfast as a mother, but do it as an offering to God. Let Him be preeminent or first in your mind and your heart towards what you're doing with your children. If they go to college, fine. That's what God has. If they die on the mission field, fine. If that's what God has. You with me? If they get tuberculosis because they're in downtown Chicago ministering to people who are way out there in darkness, let them die. Let them go. I feel like here lately, God is speaking to me that quit holding on to everything. We just hang on to it. We're freer if we let it go. Our sons and daughters are not ours, they're God's. Some of you have already buried children. Robin has. Linda has a little baby. You mothers who have miscarried, God has our children, they're His. Let's not hold them so tightly. Be steadfast in what you're about, but remember, oh Lord, they're yours. We continue on. Verse 24. He's old enough to be dedicated. He's 25 years old, right? No, he's not. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Yes, he was young. And they slew a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she says to Eli, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Look at this. Therefore also I have lent, it's better translated, I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be dedicated to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Eli, that is. Point number three. She had a free heart to dedicate her son after he was weaned. We said at the beginning she had a ready heart before he was born to dedicate her son. Second of all, after he was born, did she waver? Not a bit. She was steadfast to dedicate her son to God. And third, now he's of the age, he's little bitty, but she was ready now to fully offer him. She was free. Now I have a picture of me trying to, from Ebony or one of you on mom, get your 2 or 3 year old and say, that one's ours. They're going to hang out with Mac and Lee and Philip. We're going to teach them things. They're going to hang out and do stuff with us. That child's ours. Give them to us. You're not going to do it, are you? Right? I mean, it just seems counter to everything we feel, everything we think. Not for Hannah. The time came that she was ready to take him to the tabernacle. How old was he? Probably. 2, 3, 3-ish, probably 3. A 3-year-old. I have a 3-year-old grandson. I don't think I'm going to be able to convince his mom that she's supposed to take him to the tabernacle and that's it. You can go see him once a year when you come back to offer up offerings. But that's what's happening here. Hannah was ready. She was steadfast and now she's free. She did it unto the Lord. It was time. She knew God was great. She knew God would do great things. By faith, Hannah offered up her son. It could be in Hebrews 11, couldn't it? She did. She offered up her own son. It's just a tremendous example of a heart, a parental heart, just completely committed to God's name. So she's ready to take her 3-year-old to Shiloh and give him to God. And once again, as I keep saying, Hannah shows absolutely no hesitation. No second thoughts. No hesitation. Her husband has obviously agreed. He already understands all that's going on. Just because, do what seems right to you. When she's weaned, then bring him. Her heart was truly, truly free to bring him into God's service as a little bitty boy. Now, I want to say this, ladies. I realize that this is unique, very unique in the history of the world, in the history of God's people. Taking a three-year-old and giving him to God, right? Like this, in the tabernacle, to serve as a priest and a prophet. I understand that. We all understand that. None of you are going to face this. Your focus is on the care of them right now at all times, right? But the principle is here. This ongoing offering your children, praying over them, teaching them, aiming them as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, right? So are children of the youth. They're aimed. You're committing them to God. But your care is right now, isn't it? Your care for your children is right now. I got a good reminder of this a week ago last night. Our three little grandsons spent the night for the first time, all three of them. Yeah, it was active at our place. Woo-wee, it was active. Bath time, ooh, trying to get it. So, and Krista, as the evening went on, she was feeling pretty weak. She just said, I just hadn't felt well. So we finally got them in bed, finally got them down. They finally conked out. She's not feeling too well. Jesse and Michaela, by this time, were down. House is quiet. Amen. It was great. And I'm dealing with this, the care of them right now. It's real, isn't it? It's hour by hour, day by day. And you know what Krista turned to me and said right before she was going to fall asleep? Because she went on to bed and I had to take care of some other things. She said something to me that I wasn't even thinking about. You talk about a mom's heart towards their children. And this is a grandmother. She said, make sure you go to look in on the little boys, and particularly Penley, year and a half, and Pax, 3, and make sure they're covered up and they're taken care of. Now guys, you single guys, I've been parenting 33 years. You know what? That's not what I was thinking I needed to do before I went to bed. So you need to make note. A mom's heart is to not take their children and give them away. That's my point here. Her heart was. God was that big and glorious to her. She said, my child is God's. A mom's heart is always caring. We know Hannah loved this son, but she had a bigger reality in her by faith. You know what I did? I went and checked on him. And when I did, some of this sermon came alive to me. There they were, those three little boys, finally, quiet, laying down. And yes, the two she said to check on needed exactly what she said. I just came to bed shaking my head. A mother's heart towards the children. She has it. You have it. You sisters that are already well into your years of mothering. So I understand that the uniqueness of a little three-year-old being given away is unique to this story. But again, what is the prevailing truth? What is it speaking to us? This. Hannah had faith and joy to trust God with His life. Get that? She had faith and joy. This is not some internal struggle she's having. She said, Lord, I give him to you. She says to Eli, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Can you imagine? I wonder what Eli thought. Wow. God is gracious. That's what he was probably thinking. Look at this. Therefore, she says, this is the child I prayed for. There's probably no reason he would have seen the child yet. Here he is. The whole history of Israel, the kingdom of God, the lineage of what's to come, Samuel being the man that corrects Saul, Samuel being the man that anoints David. This is just your everyday chap. This is a man that God had for His namesake. Our children, for God's glory, may go on and do great things. Is that not what we want? Yes, our sons, our daughters. I'm going to die. I'm going to be gone. But our posterity, our children, God's glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, His kingdom, His preeminence lives on. Don't we want our children to walk with Him? Forget how many degrees they get, how much money they make, where they live, what kind of vacations. It's about, do they know God? This is eternal life, to know God, right? To know His Son, to walk with Him. That's what she lived for. You know the text. She gets more children not long after this, right? Right. She gets children more. She probably had absolutely the same heart with them that she had with Samuel. A different vow, a different dedication. But she lived out faith, believing God for her children. Therefore she says to Eli, I have lent or dedicating to the Lord as long as He liveth. This wasn't a 1 week, 1 month, 1 year deal. What are you ladies thinking? She gives a 3-year-old to an old man at a tabernacle. Can you imagine just the feeling she had? She wasn't giving him to an old man at a tabernacle. She was offering up to the living God. Matthew Henry said, all our gifts to Him were first His gifts to us. I have been parenting, as I've said, well into the 30-year plus, and I'm still learning to not let my prayers and my longings and my desires for my children to be wrongly aimed. Oh God, use my sons for Your glory. My daughters, my grandchildren, Lord, advance Your glory. Make them vessels for the Master's use. Oh, this is so precious. All our gifts to Him were first His gifts to us. So true. Hannah gave Samuel to God, and she did so with a free heart. Totally free. Full of faith. Lastly, we're not even going to read the text. She's given her son, or she was ready for a son to dedicate. She was steadfast after he was born. I'll dedicate him. He's weaned, and she is absolutely free to go to Shiloh and tell Eli, here he is. She gives him to the Lord. Comes back once a year to see him. Makes him little clothes, right? An experience that we can't really even comprehend. But God had it. Great things came from it. But then, lastly, what was her response afterwards? Chapter 2. Remember, this is just amazing. Fourth point I want to make is she had a heart full of joy after dedicating her son. You don't have to, if you're freely offering your children to God, rejoice in Him. Don't agonize over it. She didn't. Immediately, Hannah breaks into one of the greatest Old Testament prayers of thanksgiving that we have. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like our God. You ladies, when you pray over your children, you pray with them, and you pray and say, Lord, draw them to You, teach them Your ways, take them into Your purposes for Your kingdom, and then you can say, as you pray for your children, there is none holy as the Lord, neither is there any rock like our God. Your children would then grow up realizing God's the main thing. He's the great one. So Hannah, when the day came to do it, she did it with a free heart. And she did it full of joy. She truly, totally trusted God's plans for Samuel. Nothing in the text said she went home subdued, regretful, stressed out. She finishes her whole offering of her son with an explosion of praise and devotion to God. You drop your child off for their first day of something? Say, there's none holy as the Lord. They're yours. One day you take a child to the mission field, or they get on a boat and they're fixing to leave. You don't know if you'll see them again. Rejoice in the Lord. There's none holy as the Lord. He's it. Your child goes into the hospital room, into the surgeon's table. Don't know if they're going to live through it. There's none holy as the Lord. Oh God. It puts chapter 2 in an amazing place to see that Hannah, after the sequence of steps, after the 3 years of longing, getting, weaning, and dedicating a child, she worships God. Let me close. Hannah's example provides you moms a fresh heart check. All of us. But you moms. really a fresh heart check. Do I view my children as God's gift for His purpose? God's gift for His name, for His purpose. Do I view that? Do I view my little ones, my growing up ones, my grown ones for His purpose? Like Hannah, is your heart ready to offer them? Is your heart steadfast to continue to offer them up? And are you free to release them? And do you have faith and great joy in doing this? May God help us all to view it that way. As parents, you mothers, train them to the glory of God. Give them to Him. They're His. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this woman, this story, this history, Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, and just the steadfast heart she had in faith to believe God, to first to give her a child, and then to give Him back. Lord, what a story of parenting to the glory of God, to see our children as Your gift, to see them as vessels for Your name. Help us today. Help the sisters here, the women today that are moms, minister grace to them, fresh faith, joy in being a mom. Lord, all of us in our parental roles, to have faith to do it unto Thee. Oh, thank You for children. Thank You for grandchildren. Thank You, Lord, for Your loving kindness, for the bigger purposes of God in it all. Magnify Your name. We love You. We bless You. Through our Savior. Amen.